Welcome. I'm Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego. You're listening to Tech San Diego Spotlight. I know some of you come on for our Tech 3 talent. This one is a spotlight where we look at critical issues. We are back in the studio, and this one is very timely. We have with us ESET's Chief Security Evangelist, Tony Anscombe. Tony, welcome back to the podcast. You've been on it before.
I have, Kevin, and it's great to be back and talking to you again.
And, of course, Tony is host of his own podcast, which those of you should always listen to. I know I do. It's called Speakeasy Security, always keeping us up to date on the latest on security. And so one of the reasons with everything in the news, and I'm speaking specifically with, you know, what's going on in the Ukraine, Tony, I think a lot of people expected more cyber issues to this point, and maybe we just haven't heard about them, but I don't know if there's things we should be looking at. I don't know if there are things that you guys are seeing, and very specifically here in the U.S., what might we be concerned about?
Well, firstly, we have seen some specific, very targeted malware, Kevin, at organizations in the Ukraine. So just before Russia launched their attack, we saw a cyber attack happen. And there's no attribution to who actually conducted this cyber attack, but it was disk wiping. So actually, as it sounds, you know, wiping the contents of the disk over a period of time. And that was on several organizations over hundreds of machines. So we have seen certain cyber attacks. I think, though, as you kind of alluded to, there was an expectation that this cyber war would be inflicted on everybody everywhere, which fortunately hasn't happened, which is a good thing. But it doesn't mean it won't happen, or it doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the future at some stage. So we just all need to remain really, really vigilant and make sure, you know, we've got our security software up to date, make sure we understand it. If you're a business, that you've got your continuity plan sorted. You know, if there was a cyber attack that took down parts of your business, how does your business operate? And make sure you've got that crisis plan in place, that crisis and continuity plan in place to understand, you know, how you're going to actually address this if it does happen. But most importantly, the same things that cybersecurity people say a lot of times: multi-factor authentication. You know, make sure you're patching your software. Make sure it's all up to date. Make sure you've got security software such as ESET on devices, and make sure you're truly proactively looking at your cybersecurity plan.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think obviously that's easier for the larger companies, Tony. It might be, you know, a little more challenging for the small, mid-sized companies. And the hope is, of course, is that we're in a better position than we were just a few years ago. Are there specific threats from the Russian Federation that are having more levels of success? And do you see any increase in the Russian Federation attacking entities in the United States?
Well, as I said, you know, we're a company that, unless we can attribute something very specifically, we would only attribute it to the group that it came from. Speculation that it comes from a nation state is then down to, for example, you know, government agencies to actually work out whether it's a nation state behind something. And yes, we do see increased APT activity in the Ukraine over previous years. You know, are we seeing more activity elsewhere? Not to my knowledge at this moment in time.
Well, that's certainly good to hear. So one of the things, and so internally at Tech San Diego, we're a fairly small organization, and we like to think we're very cyber aware. Of course, we have a lot of resources, like ESET, in fact, has their North American headquarters is obviously in San Diego. So, you know, we're able to tap in once in a while and folks like you. And we like to think we're somewhat cyber aware. We have Microsoft Office. And, you know, we recently got some notifications from some of our members kind of emailed me, hey, you know, you need to get off of Teams because people are using that. And, you know, it turns out that that's really about any program where you're able to transfer files, you should be careful. But are there any platforms that you've seen that are more vulnerable than ever? Or is it just, as you said, you just need to be vigilant for everything?
I think you need to be vigilant for everything. And firstly, maybe we should explain what Teams teams are, because not all, as you said, some of the organizations that may be smaller haven't switched across, are still on other platforms. So Teams is a piece of Microsoft software that is kind of an umbrella communication piece of software. So it brings together virtual meetings, conferencing, you know, chat, whether it's in groups or whether it's one-to-one. You can create channels and have breakout rooms and all those sorts of good things. But you can also, and here's the key to it, I think, is where it becomes particularly more interesting for a cyber criminal. You can start sharing files. It has access to your Outlook. It also has access to your calendar, etc. So suddenly now you've got this all-in-one compassing piece of communication software that actually has access to an awful lot of different things behind the scenes. So whether that's file sharing, SharePoint or Outlook or calendars and such like. So, and I also think it provides a trust element. And I don't know about your use of Teams, Kevin, but you tend to, I think once you bring up that environment, you tend to think you're only talking to people in your own company, or kind of the people that have access to Teams are trusted in some way. Well, that's not true. I mean, obviously the people in your own company, yeah, but once you start talking to people outside of your company, or even if somebody's doing something unusual, even from within your company, it should have a zero trust element to it. That if they're sending you something just like a file that would turn up in your email, you should have that vigilant view on it of, that doesn't look quite right. Why would Kevin send me that? And yeah, hold it off at a distance and don't open it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Tony. I think those, you know, I think the different platforms would, you know, they may not have the reach that Microsoft Teams does, but certainly if you're in Slack or Zoom, it seems like any of those platforms have the ability to file transfer. And it would seem to be common sense that you shouldn't be opening those files that, you know, people are sending you through a chat function.
Absolutely. And I think it's worth distinguishing also about the difference between a vulnerability in use and a vulnerability in software. And I say that because, you know, sometimes we hear about, you know, a product will have a vulnerability issue. And for example, actually Teams did have a couple of vulnerabilities at the end of last year, which, as I recall, they were patched by Microsoft. And what that means is the actual code that the product is written in, the programmer made a mistake, left a flaw in it, a bug, whatever we want to call it. And companies typically patch these, which is why it's important we keep our software up to date. So they understand there are people that look for vulnerabilities in software. They find them. They notify the vendor that they found a vulnerability. Some vendors then pay what's called a bug bounty. So pay the person for disclosing it. It gets fixed in a patch and the patch gets rolled out and everybody stays safe. Now, in the unlikely and unfortunate events, which do happen from time to time, you get something called zero-day vulnerabilities. That means somebody's found something and is exploiting it before somebody's had the chance to patch it, which is a little bit more dangerous. So, and then we've got, on the other side, we've got vulnerabilities in use, yeah, which involve the person using it, maybe clicking a link or opening an attachment or such like. So I think we should just distinguish between the two different types of vulnerabilities. And that one in the software, I can't stress enough, you know, make sure that you keep all the versions of Teams in your organization up to date, or whatever software it is you're running. And when I say that, think about all the different Teams clients. And I'm going to use that as an example. You know, it's on iOS, it's on Android, it's on Windows, it's on macOS. There's browser versions. So which browser version are you using? Is your browser at the latest version? So you need to make sure all these components are fully up to date. And typically, companies like Microsoft have what in the industry is commonly called Patch Tuesday. So they have, on the second Tuesday of each month, they release all the patches for their software and everybody gets this big update package. So they're actively updating these security issues as people find them.
Thanks, Tony. I think all that is very, very useful information. Let's imagine we're a couple of weeks out, we're a couple months out. sanctions are beginning to hit the Russia Federation, and the actual nation state is reaching out in retribution on cyber. When that, if we begin to see that happens, how should we? You've said all the good things, all the good cyber hygiene, but is there anything specifically that, you know, when that starts happening, somebody say, "Oh, Tony told me look out for this. Let's do this." I mean, is there anything different than what they're doing now, or is it just, you know, keeping things up to date? If you know, we start, you know, we're reading in the press that, you know, they've gone all out, you know, attacking organizations. What are we going to have to do different?
Well, like I say, I don't want to get into whether it's a nation state and the attribution, but yeah, you know, if we think about the last couple of years, I mean, most IT teams are already working at extreme stress levels under the duress of ransomware. I mean, if you look at the start of last year, you know, you saw, if I put these in some sort of chronological order, if I can remember the order they were, you had Colonial Pipeline, start of the year, $4.4 million a ransomware paid. Then you had, I think there was Garmin for about $10 million. You saw JBS Foods for $14 million. Then you saw CNA Financial at $40 million. These demands are only going in one direction, by the way, Kevin, if you've noticed. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, you had, or towards the back end of the year, you had Kaseya, which was a supply chain ransomware attack that hit lots of small businesses, about 1,500, 2,000 small businesses, because it was in software that those businesses use. And then you had, I don't know whether you saw, but in December, MediaMarkt, a retailer in Germany, had a demand for $240 million. You know, if cybersecurity teams aren't already prepared, aren't already under that duress of awaiting an attack, then you know, where were you last year? To a certain degree, I think a lot of cybersecurity people are already doing the diligent things that they need to do in their organizations to actually keep themselves safe. And yeah, and I think that puts most people in a really good position. However, of course, these types of things are not great. But, you know, I mentioned, you know, when we started this discussion, you mentioned about Teams. And I think our discussion today kind of came from an article, didn't it, that was on in the media about Teams having vulnerabilities. And it was actually in usage vulnerabilities. And what if you look at the usage vulnerability and a lot of attacks in ransomware and or cyber attacks, they start with phishing. And they start with credential theft or exposed passwords or such like. Now, I can't stress enough, if you're not running multi-factor authentication on your systems today, go turn it on. That should be your priority. Yeah, because if you can stop the phishing, stop the credential theft, never give the cyber criminal access, then we're all going to be in a much better place.
Tony, I think that's probably the best advice that I know you've given it before, but those of you who are listening, just that multi-factor and is really critical in making sure. And, you know, there was a time when you would think, well, you know, we're just this small $10 million company and they're not going to bother us. And that's from what I'm seeing and reading, that certainly doesn't seem the case. And there's no prejudice against the size of the company. Obviously, they would like larger paydays, but I think it seems that every size company is vulnerable. Are you guys seeing that, or is it just still mostly the larger companies?
No, you're right. Every company is vulnerable, and it depends on the motivation of the cyber criminals behind it. And remember, you know, when we talk about something like ransomware, which is monetization of cyber crime, it works on a reselling basis. You have the provider of the ransomware, and then underneath you have what is commonly termed as affiliates. Yeah, you know, using that software. So, you know, it depends on where that affiliate wants to go and take his wares. I mean, he might be targeting smaller companies because they find it easier to break into smaller companies, or they might be targeting smaller companies to get to the bigger companies. Yeah, you know, often smaller companies are providers to bigger companies. So you've got to be really careful. And what one of the most prevalent cyber crimes actually that businesses suffer, especially I think in that kind of medium-sized business or downwards, is business email compromise. And we were talking about Teams, yeah, you know, and the threat from usage in Teams. Of course, you know, business email compromise doesn't necessarily need to come over email. It could come over chat in Teams. If you're somebody in your accounts department or somebody in your business has had their account compromised, and suddenly in the accounts department start getting demands to transfer money from this person, and they're a budget holder and they sound legitimate, you know, that's a business email compromise right there.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how much of the ransomware and the cyber and I don't know, maybe we need to change the name of it, but it's social engineering, right? It's just finding where those vulnerabilities are. And for those of you who want to know more about the ransomware, please look at the our earlier discussion. And Tony and I really walked through the entire kind of supply chain, I guess, of ransomware. And it was really shocking for me to hear of all the people involved and the middlemen and everything else. Tony, we always get such great information from you. Tell us where to go. Tell us about your pod. I know ESET has this wonderful page of resources. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, firstly, I also have a podcast, as you mentioned, Kevin, up front, which is ESET Speakeasy. And you know, we are a cybersecurity company. We produce endpoint software and EDR and threat intelligence type solutions. So if you've got questions about cybersecurity, please do come and talk to us. I think it's really important that you keep abreast of things as they happen. So you know, we have a great blog site called welivesecurity.com, and on there you will find the latest research, and especially research that is currently coming out of the conflict crisis that's happening in the Ukraine. So we've actually created a separate stream so people can keep in touch with what's happening. And as we see more threats and we publish more details, it will be there.
Tony, any last words? And by the way, I always go to, you have the best blogs, and what I really like about it, and this isn't a commercial, but they're not, you know, so many of the articles are just written to scare people, you know, and they're not helpful, right? And some of them aren't even, don't seem factual, right? And so having a place you can go to where you could actually learn about the cybersecurity threats without, like, it's all frightening, right? Knowing someone, you're vulnerable, but having someone talk in language that we can understand, and we could really begin to understand the threat, where it's coming from, and how we could protect ourselves is really refreshing. I really wish more cybersecurity companies would look at the type of stuff you guys are doing and certainly communicate it in the same way. Before we end the podcast, any last words?
Well, the other thing I would say that companies would be well versed to do right at this moment in time is some end user training. You know, get your users who are typically that first breach point. You know, look at end user cybersecurity awareness training. And even if you did it 6 months ago, now would be a great time to refresh that.
Yeah, I think that current events gives you a great, for lack of a better word, excuse to go and do some more training. Tony, I'm not going to say goodbye because I know we're going to have you back. And so we will touch base in a couple of months. Everyone stay safe, protect your systems, and we will see you at the next TSD Spotlight.
Since 1994, Tech San Diego has provided a unifying voice for San Diego's technology community, fostering growth and business acceleration through collaborations between industry, education, and government. We support members from all sectors of the technology industry, including cybersecurity, big data, robotics, SaaS, biotech, healthcare, Internet of Things, defense, telecom, and more. Learn more about us at www.techsandiego.org. TSD Spotlight is hosted by Tech San Diego's executive producer, Kevin Carroll. We want to thank Tony Anscombe for joining us again today. Tony's podcast is called Speakeasy Security and is produced by ESET. ESET develops software solutions that deliver protection against evolving computer security threats. Listen to Tony's podcast, Speakeasy Security, wherever you listen to podcasts. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva. Tech San Diego Spotlight is recorded remotely and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure to like, follow, and share.